Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as mobiusstrippress.com. Both of these websites, as you know, have a plethora of information. My content, books, and so forth are on mobiusstrippress.com, and I've got my bullets and all sorts of stuff that I'll go through in just a few minutes on reclaimingtherepublic.org. But as I always say, this is the only show on air anywhere that is asserting the constitutional solution to federal government overreach. We are solution-based, and we are out to actually make a difference. Instead of the status quo, protests, marches, and so forth, they may get you out in the sun, give you some good vitamin D, maybe make you feel good, meet new people, see new faces, do things, but none of those things actually have driven any tangible solution in dealing with federal government overreach. That's the primary reason why you want to download these podcasts, so you can understand what it is that we are asserting. And as we start to grow, and it is growing, then you will be able to actually see and witness these tangible solutions as they start happening. And we are looking at really getting results this year and actually seeing the fruit of those results in 2019. That being said, the content on these shows will refer to content in previous shows, and keeping abreast with these shows is very important so that you can kind of make sense of them. That's another reason why you'd want to download these. And another reason also is that the content actually is non-perishable. It doesn't really matter if you listen to this stuff 10 years from now. The Constitution will still remain relevant, and getting back and understanding the constitutional perspective as we look at all these different events will withstand the test of time as well. As that moves on, or as I move on here, I wanted to let you know that reclaimingtherepublic.org is a place where you can find my latest presentation on Republic Review. Just watch the first 30 minutes, and again, you know, have a block party. Get your big screen out, put it out on the street, and let people, you know, kind of soak in the concept that the Constitution is a contract, that the stakeholders are the states, not the federal government, that they have the ultimate say over all things pertaining to the Constitution, and they have the authority and ability to do in performing an audit and calling the federal government out for all of its federal, or I should say, its overreaches outside the boundaries of the Constitution. So on the website, I'm going to be adding a page, as well as I'm going to be working on that crowdfunding. I'm adding a page for a list of supporters. And what I'm going to do is have basically a column of those who we are appealing to, and then another column of those who have come on board. And so you'll actually be able to see, you know, who is getting behind Republic Review and supporting this and who we're out there appealing to. And so that way you can kind of see as things start chugging along, you know, these organizations that already exist as a grassroots or what have you, the intent is to get them to come on board and support this. I'm not trying to recreate a new party. I am not trying to recreate any type of grassroots organization. The intent for what I am trying to do is work with those organizations in centering on the Constitution and getting their organizations to forcing your representatives to actually fulfill their oath of office. So that's why I'm actually not trying to create or replace any organization. We're trying to work with those. I consider our role more as an appliance where other entities can come along and basically connect with us and use Republic Review as the fulcrum in getting the needed change in saving our Constitution. Again, you can also find the bullets of Republic Review, so you can get smart on it. That's right there on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The model, and actually the model picture and description, or bullets that will help help you understand the model for Republic Review. There is no sign anywhere in the news. I actually just scanned it, and it looks like we actually may have some movement in North Korea and South Korea that they agree to come to peace terms. And I guess I saw a post on Fox News, so I have to repeat it. So maybe Donald Trump deserves a Nobel Peace Prize instead of Obama. If you remember, I think it was the first year Obama was in office. He did nothing, but he got a Nobel Peace Prize. And I know that the $1 million, I think, that comes with that Nobel Peace Prize would, be a good contribution, I think, for Trump's reelection campaign. But anyway, I will move on and say that there is really nothing in the news other than that made me laugh. But there's really nothing that's showing, and there's no indication whatsoever that the federal government is going to undo any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. What does that mean? That means that it is up to us to get this done. So that means that we have to roll up our sleeves, as I always say, go shoulder to shoulder, and start working where the work counts. And that work only counts in the states because, like, as I've been telling you, the states are the stakeholders, not national monuments in the national square and going to, you know, Congress and appealing to them. And I don't understand why there's this appeal other than it just makes it easier for them to control us if we all stay on that national stage. Going back to the 50 states, it's a little bit different. So anyway, I want to let you know that there is a new question I have. If you want to pipe in, you can maybe tell me where or what in the Constitution gives the federal government the power to create and manage land for whether that be, you know, races, cultures, reservations, or what have you, refugee camps and all of these types of things, penal facilities, all of these things that I have a problem finding in the Constitution. Maybe you can help me by pointing out where in the Constitution the states have delegated the ability for the federal government to manage land. In spite of the banning, I will say this too, because I made a comment on it and I need to do a follow-up. In spite of the Colorado banning the teacher walkout and their strike, the teachers still went out and struck. And so they are out in the streets protesting that they're not getting paid. And I'll be honest to tell you, if the teachers really want to make a big boost in their pay, walk out of the unions and keep your dues, because that's a significant little chunk of pay right there. I don't understand why the teachers are in a union. Were they working on dirt floors, or was the condition so horrible? Conditions are getting horrible since the unions have been entrenched in the education system. I mean, teachers are more threatened today, and they're living in far worse conditions because of this progressive, all of these progressive angles in the education system, whether it be the union itself or the curriculum that they're driving, the progressives are pushing into Common Core, Planned Parenthood in Common Core, and so forth. So help me out here. Why is it good that they're taking money out of their salary to pay for something that's actually making their conditions worse? It's I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, next week, on Tuesday, May 1st, I will be speaking on the endorsements for Idaho, and I'll have a couple surprises maybe. More importantly, I mentioned yesterday, and I'm going to actually cut an advertisement for this, but there is going to be a Red Pill Expo in Spokane coming up in June, and I'm actually working to try to create these rodeos that I'm doing as a function or a door opening event type of thing for Red Pill University. And so I will get more into that as I get more information next week on that. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Platonism. And so if you stay tuned, I'm going to introduce you to Plato's Republic, or at least statism, and that ideology. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me. It's great to have a great dentist. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And as I was going into break, I know I was mentioning the fact that I'm going to get into Platonism. I know for the past couple of days, I've been providing you actual citations and cuts out of the Virginia ratification debates. And there is a lot of material in those debates. As I tell you, those debates are very critical in understanding the Constitution, because that's exactly what they did, is they helped the states actually understand what each line meant. But I wanted to mix it up, and I know I kind of talked about Platonism before, But I'd like to expound a bit on the marches that we've been seeing over the past few years. They're all kind of different, but they all kind of have the same outcome. In other words, trying to take some form of liberty and trying to advance some form of statism. And so when I refer to Platonism is what most people refer to as communism or state control government, where the state literally controls everything. It is different degrees, and as a matter of fact, in my book, I use a black and white kind of spectrum with shades of gray from one side to the next. And as you move from white, and on the white side is basically no encumbrance of liberty. And every time you add an encumbrance or a little more gray, a little more gray, a little more gray, you are reducing the amount of liberty and sovereignty that the individuals have. And so statism is where there is zero liberty, where everything that the that you understand is basically taken away. Your family, how your children are to be raised, the curriculum that your children are receiving. In California today, parents cannot waiver or take their kids out of the LGBT curriculum that California is forcing down their throats. And so do you think that the parents in California have lost their liberty? Well, that happens to be a part of that agenda, where they actually control, they're getting better and better at literally mandating and controlling the indoctrination of your children. So you see, even though Marx and Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto, they really lacked originality. These guys were really plagiarists, even though everything they wrote may have been original spin. They pretty much copied Plato and his idea of the Republic. But there were other authors prior to Marx and Engels in writing the Communist Manifesto. As a matter of fact, I think Dante played with it. And I know there were other utopian writers that created this ideal state. And I think we even saw some movies in the 60s and 70s that kind of dealt with that. Bottom line, if you understand that this actually was not an original thought even for Plato, Plato was just basically capturing what he believed would be the perfect process, because there were states, or if you want to call them nations back then, or societies prior to Plato, Socrates, and even Aristotle, because I remember in reading J.M. Roberts' The History of the World, and I think it's been rewritten a couple of times, but I remember in reading that, Aristotle was asked by Alexander the Great, why is it that people continually surrender their sovereignty and their control over their own lives to the state? And Aristotle's response was basically the inherent need of extending the family to the society. In other words, people love their family, and they just love how the family can get along and how parents can kind of take care of, you know, the children in the family. And, you know, the provider, the nurturer, the different roles and so forth. And so the natural tendency is to try to apply those family principles to the state, where the state becomes the parents and everybody becomes just a child to the state. And there's this natural tendency that Aristotle told Alexander the Great that it just kind of becomes overwhelming, and people try to apply parenting in government. And I'm really paraphrasing, but I remember reading that and I go, so really, this concept of statism or communism really spans beyond even our understanding of history, because prior to the cradle of society or the cradle of civilization that we call Greece, and the great minds of Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, they actually were documenting or acknowledging the trends of society years before. Because if you read Plato's Republic, he talks about politics. Not Plato's, Aristotle wrote a book called Politics, and he talks about the empirical data that is just a fact of how things were in politics back then that still even apply today, like demagoguery and those types of things. And so they were only kind of the first of making acknowledgments of empirical data as they, you know, had access to those bits of data as they understood them. So it's interesting how from Plato's Republic, how we've just kind of, excuse the expression, just regurgitated that into different forms. And that's exactly what Marx and Engels did. That being said, before Marx and Engels was able to write that manifesto, our framers were well aware of statist forms of government, which is why they gave us a system that would be impervious to statist governments or a statist form of government. And so, as Jefferson described it, and as a matter of fact, if you look at, and W. Cleon Skousen covers this really, really well, and I had a conversation about this today, not deliberately, but I was talking to a leader, and we were talking about how Skousen kind of identified that the framers used the model of ancient Israel, of how Moses, by his father-in-law, said, hey, you can't control everything and you can't be the center of everything. So you kind of have to break down and allow things to be distributed where most of the decisions and judgments can be done at the lowest level possible so that, you know, if it really requires a greater degree of wisdom or so forth, it can pop up to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And that's what Moses instituted with the judges. And he also noticed, or at least Jefferson noticed, that the Saxon brothers did a very similar model with their society. So if you look at the original seal that was proposed by the framers, which was Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson, the seal of the United States, actually on one side, I think, was Jefferson and Adams's proposal, had Moses leading the Israelites out of Israel, out of Egypt, I mean. And the other side of the seal was, I believe, the Anglo-Saxon brothers. And it's interesting how they kind of recognized that having a distributed form of government, and actually Dumas Malone made comment in his series of his biography on Jefferson, it was a six-book series, and he made a comment that Jefferson kind of explained the government as a distributive form of government. And so in my book, I kind of reanalyzed what Jefferson was trying to say and looked at it in force. Instead of a political energy, I looked at it as a political force. And so I'll give you the insights of the two types of forces that politics provides for the people or implies upon the, or applies upon the people. And so when we come right back after word from our sponsors, I will give you those two energy forces. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic.
Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so when we're going into break, I was talking about Jefferson describing the politics or the energy of politics in America as outward flowing. And so when I remember thinking about this as I was driving along, and basically what he's talking about is centrifugal energy, where the energy, the political energy, allows the decisions and controls to go as furthest out as possible. And so as far as the politics flow, so in America, that would go to from sea to sea, or ocean to ocean, and to Hawaii and every state in the union. And therefore, the politics that they created was a centrifugal flow of energy, in contrast to statism, where statism is actually a centripetal, where the flow of energy is inward, trying to draw everything to the center. And so That type of energy Jefferson talked about, or that type of politics, was very destructive because things on the outer edges of society or within those societies were, you know, starved, or they didn't flourish as well. And when societies flourished better is when energy, or the ability for people to have their own control of their own destiny and so forth, allowed them to be far more productive, which is precisely why they created a system that allowed the decisions and controls to be outward and flow, you know, as distributive, as Jefferson called it, or centrifugal, as I would call it. That being said, as they moved through the Constitutional Convention and creating this hybrid constitutional republic, because both there was a federal organization created, so federalism, or I should say a federation, was actually created, and the Confederacy was retained. In other words, the majority of the power was left to the states. Only a finite amount of power was delegated to that central government. Doesn't seem that way now, does it, folks? And so I'm going to get into why and how that's happened. But bottom line, what they created was a hybrid where we had both a federation and a confederation working together independently and symbiotically. And so to be clear, Platonism cannot work, or I should say centralized controls cannot work truly in an immature society to the level that it actually controls every facet of your life. And if you understand Plato's Republic, there was just no way the state could literally control, you know, who was having babies, who was raising those babies, and so forth, because you could go off into the woods, have a child, and, you know, be out of the state's purview and sight, creating your own little city or what have you, because in those days they didn't have the technology. So when I talk about an immature society, they didn't have the level of technology that they needed to truly control every facet. That's one of the reasons why Russia had problems, and that's one of the reasons why 6 million people starved to death, because they didn't have the capacity to literally meet the needs and the dynamics because of their limitations of infrastructure, technology, and so forth. So they kind of know that as technology grows and as infrastructure, those types of things grow, then they have the ability to become a much more powerful centralizing government. And that's one of the reasons why in most of the old days, they had to have a very large police force or an army to kind of ensure that you were compliant to the decrees of the state and meeting the state requirements. Another thing that's been going on over the time here in America, though, as this literally started, and as a matter of fact, I'll get into the history of that in just a second, but what we're kind of been seeing has been the gradual migration of centralizing powers. It literally started almost right out the gate, as I've talked about, with Marshall being the key culprit in creating unconstitutional footings where people could come along and say, hey, Marshall said that the federal government is supreme in all things, that the federal government can do anything it perceives necessary as long as it's necessary and proper for the things that it wants to do. And that's why our federal government has slowly creeped and crawled and grown into our lives to a point, my friends, where they're controlling every facet of how many watts your light bulbs can burn, what type of energy, or I should say, what type of system your light bulb is, where it's filament, whether it's mercury or fluorescent and so forth, LED, and they want to manage and dictate every little facet of your life. Your toilet only can flush so many liters instead of gallons. That's the slow, gradual method that actually a guy by the name of Robert Higgs wrote a book about, the Leviathan or the Ratcheting Method. And he has some pretty interesting concepts of how they've been successful at doing that. And so as you start looking at this process of them taking control of this, This is why people in America have not realized that they've been losing liberties a little bit each time. And as this goes through, we kind of go, well, you know, our life may be a little bit better, or it just seems that it has been marginalized and we have some perceived gains. Everybody has air conditioning. Everybody, you know, has access to the grocery store and has access to be able to buy that because of the state entitlements and so forth. Anyway, let me get back on track here. The state in this process must grow to a point to be able to suppress and oppress their domestic opposition without appearing like an occupational force. And so how is it that they suppress and oppress domestic opposition? Well, go to the campuses of any university now, like Berkeley or wherever, even Gonzaga, and you bring in somebody that talks about liberty and the true classic liberal concepts, and they will be suppressed and oppressed by those, I'll call them what Lenin called them, the useful idiots, because we're not going to stand for this. You're talking about liberty. The state's, the state is the best way to go. We, you know, take away your liberties. It's shutting people down and closing down the argument and not being able to debate the ideologies and the differences of those ideologies is a critical step where they've actually convinced your children to close their minds and basically have tantrums to shut down any type of opposing idea. So they created this little force or this little army out of the education system. Isn't that interesting? They didn't have to, you know, go and recruit people and say, okay, you're going to go and do bad things. They actually turned your kids against you. So anyway, understanding that over time, technology and other factors like the economy, education, these things advance, they can convince the citizens that the shifting of these liberties or the loss of these liberties is natural. It's a natural form of societal progress. And that is a buzzword, progress, because that's what the progressives consider what they're doing. This is progress. Anyway, many of the different colonists way back then who attempted to institute a form of Platonism, like the Pilgrims, remember when they tried to live off the commons? And as a matter of fact, I think Jamestown, the very first attempt of creating a communal type of society, failed. And that was just because they couldn't have those types of controls over people, and people would always game the system. I think, I forget who called it the tragedy of the commons, when people knew that the fruits and the foods was about to harvest, those who wanted to have gain over everybody else because they wanted to game the system would go out in the middle of the night and help themselves to the harvest instead of letting things naturally be harvested and divvied up equally amongst everybody. And, you know, they dare not go into, you know, different quarters and so forth to search and make sure that you're not the thief or what have you. But that was the tragedy of the communes, the commons. The communist movement in France was actually the very first movement in modern day history of the communist revolution. And it failed because during the French Revolution, they could not gain control or obtain full control. What ended up happening was they didn't account for a demagogue. Remember going back to Plato and the demagoguery, how a demagogue can kind of come up and basically get people to rally over a certain cause. Napoleon was able to steal or basically pull the rug out from underneath the communists. And so I've got more, and we'll be right back into the history of Platonism here in America right after a word from our sponsors. This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money to do this.
They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, these conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And as I was just checking, I got a DM, and so I was asked as to why I'm kind of going through this, and I kind of told Linda that there is an importance in understanding history and some of the significant events that kind of occurred as we kind of went out the gate in forging a path of full liberty right here in our constitutional republic. I think it's really important that most people don't understand the significance of 1776. And there were three documents that came forth that literally kind of forged the direction of mankind in 1776. So the question is, was that a coincidence, or was that more of a, a driver behind the, you know, what we're dealing with here in, here in America, because literally the Declaration of Independence, everybody understands, came out in 1776. Most people don't know that Adam Smith's 1776 release of The Wealth of Nations was the Bible for the free market and open commerce. Also in 1776, a man by the name of Adam Weishaupt wrote a charter and created an entity called the Illuminati. And I know this goes right in hand with the conspiracy theory. However, you cannot ignore the byproduct, because if you look at what he was talking about, trying to create a statist government that would control the entire world. Now, Dante talked about it, and as I said, many people had talked about this. And so as this society moved forward, the French Revolution, which came from the communes, was a byproduct as Germany in 1776, because it was in the 80s when the communes started showing up in France. And it was in the 90s when they finally revolted, when they were starving, and Marie Antoinette said, well, let them eat cake. These are not coincidences. These are a byproduct, just like as we started forging forward with what I will say as the principal leader of liberty, because you do realize that the document, if you read Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence, not the edited version, but the actual, what he submitted to the Continental Congress, we drew a line in the sand that when he said that all men were created equal, he really meant that. He actually excoriated the king and Britain for inflicting slavery into the colonies and actually creating this racial divide of what they ended up doing. You got to remember that that was all instituted by the crown and Britain. And as a matter of fact, the crown also had problems that they instituted in South Africa and throughout the world. Everywhere throughout the world, where they had slavery and they created these racial divides, they ended up allowing those to just, either fetter out through wars or what have you, through revolutions. But in England, apparently for themselves, they took the high road because they actually paid reparations. And I'm going off on a tangent here, but England actually paid, the crown actually paid for reparations for those who had slaves in England, so that what they would do is they would give them a surge of sterling pounds, basically gave them cash, so that those who had slaves could then turn right around and employ their former slaves as laborers. And they literally transitioned from a slave state to a labor state without really going through the flux of people, leaving and, destituting businesses or what have you. And it was the only place, and if you look at the racial relationships in England after that, it was actually a pretty reasonable, they didn't have lots of racial tension, but everywhere else where the government actually was forced to overcome through the Civil War here in America and through the apartheid and everything else, as you see how this all kind of played out, there were definitely huge mistakes made. But as the Constitutional Convention and George Mason said, that because we did not deal with the slavery issue, that we were destined to have, because I believe what he said was, God cannot punish nations and states in heaven, so he will punish this nation and these states for allowing us to maintain slavery, especially with our base principles. But anyway, understanding these things really helps you kind of understand how we've gotten to where we are and what our real problems have stemmed from. It hasn't been from necessarily the founding documents. It has been because people with intentions and or machinations and or self-serving interests and agendas have been making bad decisions that have constantly derailed the direction that the framers put us on. as I have said, the framers really didn't, you know, account for and take credit for what they created. All of them pointed to the divine hand of providence for the inspirations that they received. Remember what I read yesterday when I was saying that, I think it was Grayson that was just going, I can't fathom the fact that we have two legislative bodies. A legislative body is the omnipotent power. How can we have two omnipotents? That was so out of the thinking of the paradigm at that time that most people, and a friend of mine was telling me about a study, and I never got a chance to look into it, but he told me that there was a study done that based on all the data and the material that the framers had, there was just no logical reason for them to come up with this form of government with two legislative bodies, a judiciary, an executive, giving the states most of the power. He said that what would have been natural for the Americas would have been to model or create a system very similar to Britain, because you know acorns don't fall far from the tree. And you can kind of see how there's a little bit of an evolution process, but this was a huge leap of what the framers had created. So anyway, let me get back on track here. So I kind of covered this history of this. And so the communist movement kind of learned from their fiasco in France. And as they moved forward, they started using education. And then Karl Marx and Engels came out with their manifesto to kind of say, this is, you know, as the brainchild of how to move this forward, this was put upon, or where Marx and Engels kind of took this upon themselves. They kind of created this mechanism. And in the meantime, as they were writing and doing this Communist Manifesto, what was happening in Germany based on this thought process and based on collectivism, Germany on its own created its own version of a light form of communism called socialism. And if you know what ended up happening, Otto von Bismarck, I believe, was the guy in charge of Germany when he started instituting social welfare and so forth. And he was in charge, I believe, from 1871 to 1890, something like that. So this was while Marx and Engels were still alive, and they were probably giving them guidance. And I believe this is about the same time when Ludwig von Mises basically said, you guys are screwed up. You're going to destroy this country. And I think that's when he left. And started pointing out the errors of socialism and these big mistakes that they were making. But anyway, what ended up happening was they created a social security just like ours, where everybody had this retirement, and he allowed people to, you know, kind of like what happened in Greece, you know, enjoy your retirement. You work 20 years and you can retire for the other 20 years. They didn't account for, you know, the cost that would, the havoc and the cost on the society that would create. And so what ended up happening was they ended up failing, and that drove them into an economic collapse, which then kind of led them into the First World War, because the necessity of, as a matter of fact, Jonah Goldberg's book, Liberal Fascism, is an awesome book that gives you the history of the economics and the problems that they were experiencing in that time frame. And so what they ended up doing both in Italy and Germany in creating their fascist states was absolutely amazing, because what they did was they had to create a religion and so forth. And I'm getting a little off track here, but they actually did a better job in instituting a statist government, both Italy and Germany, than what ended up happening in Russia from Mussolini and Hitler. But there were a few things that happened before then. Obviously, the World War, the Bolshevik Revolution as well. So all of these things were kind of happening, and Germany was just getting worse off and worse off, to where they were burning their marks to keep themselves warm, because the marks was worth less than firewood. And so they were totally devastated from, and the root of their devastation started when they went down this path of socialism. And so that being what it is, I know I'm really out of time. And so I'll be back next week.